Some people are naturally courageous. Could this be a subtle snare for a servant of Jehovah? How can we resist any tendency to trust in our own strength? Please pay close attention to Brother Robert Perot, Circuit Overseer for Circuit A5, as he delivers the talk, Courageous but Not Self-Reliant.
In the following two examples, who would you say displayed courage? Our first example is a man who was trained to be a warrior from his youth, and he fought many battles successfully. He became the toughest, strongest warrior in his army. One of the reasons why is because he was about 9.5 feet tall. And he was so sure of himself, so strong, that he defied an entire army. He wanted to fight with another warrior a battle to the death. Our second example is a youth, a teenager. He was a shepherd, a poet, a musician. But not just that. He had protected his father's sheep from a bear and a lion. He had killed them without a gun. Now, who would you say was courageous? You know who we're talking about. We're talking about David and Goliath. Well, if you're thinking they kind of both were courageous, you're right. But was it the same type of courage? Let's look at a verse together. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and let's read verse 45. Was it the same kind of courage? David replied to the Philistine, "You are coming against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I am coming against you in the name of Jehovah of armies, the God of the battle line of Israel, whom you have taunted." So what did Goliath rely on? Like it mentions here, his sword, his spear, his javelin, his strength, his height. In contrast, what did David rely on? He says, I'm coming to you in the name of Jehovah of armies. So who displayed the proper courage? Well, that's a no-brainer. We just need to look at the outcome of the very brief fight. David displayed the proper courage. Now, how can we apply that to us today? Well, for the past 2 days, we've been talking about what courage is. Let's talk about now a few minutes on what courage is not. See, like Goliath, some base their courage on belief in themselves, which may lead them into pride, overconfidence, and recklessness. Friends, belief in ourselves is not the proper courage. As servants of Jehovah, we must remember something very important. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3. And let's read together verses 5 and 6. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, take notice of Him, and He will make your paths straight. So what do we learn in this verse? The first words say, trust in Jehovah. Jehovah wants us to trust in Him. He invites us to trust in me. The next phrase in the same verse, totally the opposite. It says, do not rely on your own understanding. See, as imperfect humans, we have that tendency to rely on ourselves. It's like a little child. I saw this a few days ago. A child was going to cross a busy street with her mom. Her mom was holding her hand, but the child was tugging away. She wanted to do it on her own, you can tell. We don't want to be like that little child with that spirit of independence. We need Jehovah. We need to rely on Him. And in verse 6, it shows how much we need to rely on Him in all our ways. Every decision we make in life, we should turn to Jehovah for His guidance. Why? Jehovah sees the bigger picture. He knows what's better for us. And it mentions in the verse, He will make our path straight. We will be successful when we rely on Jehovah. Now, why is it unwise to rely on anyone else except Jehovah, even ourselves? Because the popular belief in the world today is believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you can accomplish anything. It's in commercials. It's in movies. Why is that unwise? Please turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. We see that it's very dangerous to do so. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is more treacherous than anything else and is desperate. Who can know it? Why shouldn't we rely on ourselves? Why do we need to rely on Jehovah? Because our heart is treacherous. Would you go in a business deal with a traitor? A man like Judas Iscariot? Would you sign a business deal? If you want to fail, you can do it. But we don't want to fail. We can't rely on our heart. Our heart can be like that. It can be treacherous. It can bring us in the wrong direction. See, we don't want to fail. We want to succeed. Now, let's go a little deeper in this subject. Let's look at the context of this verse in Jeremiah 17:9. We'll learn more about the danger of self-reliance. Let's read together verses 5 and 6. This is what Jehovah says. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in mere humans, who relies on human power, and whose heart turns away from Jehovah. He will become like a solitary tree in the desert. He will not see when good comes, but he will reside in parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one can live. It looks pretty bad right away. It's not too appealing to put our trust in human powers like it mentions. And we are part of that. Relying on ourselves is trusting in human power. Cursed is the man. A curse is the opposite of a blessing. See, someone who puts his trust in himself, he displays a haughty spirit. And we know how Jehovah feels about haughtiness. Jehovah opposes the haughty one. We don't want that. In verse 6, it mentions a comparison. A person who relies on himself is like a solitary tree in the desert. Now, the Hebrew word here for the tree is a juniper tree, a low bush. We can picture that. A small bush, gloomy in appearance, ugly, in the sand and the rocks. Is that a tree you would want in your yard, in your garden? No. And this is how a person is compared to in the Bible, someone who is self-reliant, like that gloomy tree. Now, we can say, spiritually speaking, would we want to be like that tree, away from Jehovah, in this spiritually starved world? Absolutely not. That's why we need to rely on Jehovah. Someone who would be like that, who would be self-reliant, it would just be a matter of time that his faith would weaken, and it would lead him to compromise. Now, there's a striking contrast in verses 7 and 8. It says, blessed is the man who puts his trust in Jehovah, whose confidence is in Jehovah. He will become like a tree planted by the waters that sends out its roots to the stream. He will not notice when heat comes, but his leaves will always flourish. And in the year of drought, he will not be anxious, nor will he quit producing fruit. What a difference. Right away, we talk about someone who is blessed. Why is he blessed? He puts his trust in Jehovah. And the next verse talks about a very different tree. Not a scrub little bush that's ugly in appearance. No, a tree that's planted by waters with deep roots. When a storm comes, it's able to weather the storm. If there's no water, the roots are very deep. They can still get some water. But it goes further than that. If you notice in verse 8 at the end, it says that they produce fruit. That means that we can help others. See, when we draw close to Jehovah, when we rely on Him, we're like that tree. We have deep roots. Even if we have storms in this system of things, we can weather them because Jehovah feeds us spiritually. And we keep producing fruits even in difficult times. We've seen the example in the videos today. We can help our brothers and sisters. Let's read verses 9 and 10. The heart is more treacherous than anything else and is desperate. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, am searching the heart, examining the innermost thoughts, to give to each one according to his ways, according to the fruitage of his works. So here we see that Jehovah, he's warning us about our heart. And in verse 10, he examines our heart. He wants to see who we rely on ourselves or on him. You notice the expression, to give to each one according to his ways. See, someone who would rely on himself, on his treacherous heart, he would lose out on Jehovah's blessing. But if we trust in Jehovah, he will bless us. He will make our paths straight. So what can help us to see that proper courage includes modest reliance on Jehovah? Three examples. We'll look at three Bible examples from the past and what we can learn from them. Our first example is Gideon. What kind of man was Gideon? Well, please turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And let's read verse 12. So what kind of man was Gideon? Jehovah's angel appeared to him and said, Jehovah is with you, you mighty warrior. Now Gideon was not just a warrior. He was a mighty warrior. How would you have reacted to that? An angel appeared to you and tells you that you are mighty. Oh, I'm mighty. I'm better than I thought. Yeah. Yes, I am tough. Is that how Gideon reacted? Well, when the angel told him that he would be the savior of Israel, notice his reaction in verse 15. Gideon answered him, pardon me, Jehovah. How can I save Israel? Look, my clan is the least in Manasseh, and I am the most insignificant in my father's house. Gideon was humble. It's almost like he's saying, excuse me, pardon me, do you have the right guy? No, I'm the least. He was humble, modest. And because he was like that beautiful quality, Jehovah used him. Let's play the artwork. I noticed the artwork about Gideon. What is he doing here? Well, Gideon wanted a sign. He wanted to make sure that he had Jehovah's backing. So he said, he told Jehovah that he would put that fleece on the ground. And if the dew would go on the fleece only and not on the ground, then he would know that he had Jehovah's backing. And that's exactly what happened. The next day, he wrung the fleece and he was able to fill a large banquet bowl with water. And that gave him the assurance that Jehovah was backing him. Was that a lack of faith on Gideon's part? No, absolutely not. He was cautious. Knowing that Jehovah had his back, Gideon had the proper courage to go into battle with only 300 men. The odds were 450 to 1. And Gideon came out victorious because he knew that he had Jehovah's backing. What is the lesson for us? Now, although Gideon was a mighty warrior, he was cautious, he was modest, and he was humble. And because of these qualities, Gideon was useful to Jehovah. If we rely on Jehovah, no matter what our strengths are, we will be useful to Him. But the opposite is true. See, if we become haughty and we rely on ourselves, then we may become useless to Jehovah. And we would never want that to happen. Now, like Gideon, we will face powerful enemies. We will face enemies like our own imperfections. We all face that. Maybe peer pressure at school or at work to participate in activities that go against our Bible-based beliefs. Maybe it'll be an attack on our preaching work. Or it could be a situation where we feel outnumbered, like Gideon. But we must remember that when we rely on Jehovah, when we are humble, Jehovah can make the powerful or the small one powerful and give him courage to face his powerful enemies with success. Our second example is Nehemiah. Now, what kind of man was Nehemiah? Well, he was a man with a lot of responsibilities. For one thing, he was cupbearer to the king of Persia. Basically, he was the king's right-hand man, a very important position. And later on, he became governor to Judah, another position with responsibility. But how do we know that Nehemiah, a man with all that responsibility, was not self-reliant? Let's look at the artwork. What is Nehemiah doing here? He's kind of gazing. He's praying to Jehovah. See, the king asked him, "What do you want, Nehemiah?" In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, Nehemiah said that he turned to Jehovah in prayer right away. It was like a knee-jerk reaction. It showed that he was humble. And by doing this, he was able to talk to the king for God's people. In verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 2, it says, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, send me to Judah, to the city where my forefathers are buried, so that I may rebuild it." What would you have done in Nehemiah's shoes? Would you have turned to Jehovah in prayer for his guidance? Would you rely on Jehovah? Well, that's not the only time that Nehemiah showed that he relied on Jehovah. See, when they were working at rebuilding the walls, he faced opposition. Others around were accusing him of rebelling against the king that sent him there in the first place. How did he respond to those threats? Well, please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. In Nehemiah chapter 2, and notice verse 20. So Nehemiah said, "However, I replied, 'The God of the heavens is the one who will grant us success, and we, his servants, will get up and build. You have neither share nor claim nor memorial in Jerusalem.'" He had courage. He told the men, "It's Jehovah that will grant us success, our God." He relied on Jehovah. But Nehemiah went even further than that. He became like that tree planted by waters with deep roots, because they were facing distressing times, yet Nehemiah was able to help his brothers. Notice Nehemiah chapter 4, and let's read verses 12 and 13. It says, "Whenever the Jews living near them came in, they told us again and again, 'They will come at us from all directions.' So I kept men posted at the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, at the exposed places, and I posted them by families with their swords, their lances, and their bows." So they thought they would be attacked by their enemies. So Nehemiah had a plan in place. We're going to put some guards. But notice verse 14. "When I saw their fear, I immediately rose and said to the nobles and the deputy rulers and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember Jehovah, who is great and awe-inspiring, and fight for your brothers, your sons and daughters, your wives and homes.'" See, they were going through distressing times, yet Nehemiah was able to help these men, these families. He said, "Remember Jehovah who is great and awe-inspiring. Don't be afraid. Let's get to work. Jehovah will bless us. And because of that encouragement, the men working on the wall were able to complete the project in just 52 days. Nehemiah relied on Jehovah. What is the lesson for us? Well, when we have a decision to make, and we have a lot of decisions to make, maybe a decision like we're looking for a mate, or a large purchase, or it could be choosing a job. Do we rely on Jehovah like Nehemiah did? Do we pray to Jehovah? Do we do research in the publications, Bible principles to guide us? Or what if we have a degree of authority in a family, in the congregation? Do we remain humble like Nehemiah? Do we show like Nehemiah that we rely on Jehovah to help us? Do we become a strengthening aid to our brothers and sisters? Some of our friends are going through distressing times. It could be family problems. It could be health problems. It could be economic problems. We can help our brothers and sisters to remember Jehovah, that He is great and awe-inspiring. Let's look at our third example. He's the greatest man who ever walked the earth. Of course, it's Jesus. No one has ever had more wisdom, power, or authority than Jesus. Yet who did Jesus rely on? Let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And let's read verse 19. So did Jesus rely on himself? Therefore, in response, Jesus said to them, "Most truly I say to you, the Son cannot do a single thing of his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever things that one does, these things the Son also does in like manner." So if anyone could have relied on himself, it was Jesus, a perfect man. Yet what does the verse teach us? He says, "I don't rely on myself. I can't do a single thing without following what my Father tells me." He relied totally on Jehovah. And let's play the artwork. What do you see Jesus doing here? He's praying. Jesus was known as a man of prayer. When he had a decision to make, he turned to his Father in prayer. Do you remember when he chose his 12 apostles? He spent all night praying to his Father. The scriptures tell us that he often went on his own to pray to his Father. And the night before his death, he prayed for guidance. He prayed for help from his Father. What does that tell us about Jesus? He never relied on himself. He acknowledged that his wisdom, his powerful works, and his authority all came from his Father. What is a lesson for us, friends? Well, Jesus was, realistic in what he expected of himself. He knew that he could not convert everybody. He knew that he could not reach everybody in his preaching work. So what did he do? He delegated to his disciples. He knew that they would do works greater than his own. He knew his limits. Also, Jesus recognized that he was not beyond needing help. On the night of his death, what did he do? He cried out to his Father Jehovah for help, and Jehovah sent him angels to minister to him. Jesus accepted the help, the encouragement. He needed it. He did not rely on himself. We too need to be modest and reliant on Jehovah in what we expect of ourselves. Of course, we give our best in the preaching work. We're whole-souled. We exert ourselves. But at the same time, we don't want to compare ourselves to what others can do. Jehovah doesn't do that. Neither should we. And if we have a position of responsibility in the congregation, we're not beyond needing help. We have limitations. We have to accept the help from our brothers. Jehovah may send a brother to be a brother in time of need when we need it. So we want to be humble and accept the help. So what do these three examples teach us? Gideon, Nehemiah, and Jesus. That proper courage includes modest reliance on Jehovah. The question is, what practical steps can we take to imitate these fine examples and also show that we rely on Jehovah? Three practical steps. First, we must diligently study God's Word. Look at examples in the Bible, good and bad. For example, bad examples. Think of Absalom. He was good-looking and popular. Think of King Uzziah, who was a great military man and an organizer. Or Solomon, who was wise and intelligent. And how self-reliance got them into trouble. Compare these examples with the three examples we talked about, Gideon, Nehemiah, and Jesus. And as we examine these examples, look at ourselves, examine ourselves. It's like going into the mirror and make adjustments if we need to make adjustments. Do we have the habit of going unprepared in the ministry? Do you prepare for a Bible study or going to meetings? Are you well prepared? Well, a habit of going unprepared may show that we are self-reliant. See, when we look into a mirror, sometimes we see things we don't like. That's the fact of life. Sometimes we smile and we see maybe something stuck in our teeth, spinach, broccoli. What do? Do we just walk away? No. We make the adjustment. See, when we do our Bible reading, when we do look at these examples, and we compare them to ourselves, and maybe we see something we don't like, then what we need to do is just make the adjustment. Jehovah will help us. A second practical step we can do is to pray humbly from the heart. Now, Jesus gave a beautiful illustration on prayer. If you turn to Luke chapter 18, Luke 18, and as we read the verses, try to notice to whom the counsel is directed to. So Luke 18, let's start at verse 9. He also told this illustration to some who trusted in their own righteousness and who considered others as nothing. So to whom was the counsel directed to? Self-righteous people, self-reliant people. Notice verse 11, an example of this. The Pharisee stood and began to pray these things to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like everyone else, extortioners, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Is that a humble prayer? Notice the contrast in verse 13. But the tax collector, standing at a distance, was not willing even to raise his eyes heavenward, but kept beating his chest, saying, Oh God, be gracious to me, a sinner. What a difference. Which prayer does Jehovah prefer? Notice verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his home and has proved more righteous than that Pharisee, because everyone who exalts himself will be humiliated, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Friends, we want to learn a lesson from this illustration. We want to be humble servants of Jehovah. When we pray Jehovah, it comes from our heart. And we want to recognize that we need His help. We want to ask Jehovah to help us to make adjustments, to train us, and to refine us. The third practical step we can take is to cooperate closely with Jehovah's organization. Now, it's sad to say, but self-reliance has led some to run ahead of Jehovah's organization. Some have left the truth when they got upset over matters that were later corrected. How sad. If we have such feelings, maybe we feel that a situation in the congregation could have been dealt with in a better way. Maybe we feel that a change in the organization upsets us, or we don't understand it. If we feel like that, we must remember Peter's words. Please turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And just to put us in the context, Jesus had just told something to his disciples that upset them. They didn't understand. And many left following him. And notice Peter's words, verses 67 to 69. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, whom shall we go away to? You have sayings of everlasting life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." See, although the disciples didn't quite understand what Jesus had said, they knew that Jesus had words of everlasting life. They knew that they learned the truth from Jesus. They just needed patience. Jesus would explain to them. They would learn what he meant by those words. What is the lesson for us? It is clear, friends, that we learn the truth through Jehovah's organization. Jehovah uses his organization to teach us. We must cooperate with Jehovah's organization, stick close to his people, and support those taking the lead. Now, how do we show support? Well, when we talk about the elders in our congregations, the traveling overseers, the governing body, would we be showing our support by speaking negatively about them? Or would we, if we are positive in our speech, even helping others in the congregation to be positive and support the brothers, which one shows our support? Again, it's by being positive and helping others to be positive. See, when we're negative, when someone is negative, who is he concentrating on? Himself. He thinks maybe he could have done it better, has a better idea. He's being self-reliant. Much better to be positive and to support Jehovah's organization and to be patient. Jehovah will help us through these difficult times. Friends, as we get closer to Jehovah's great day, we know that we will be severely tested. There is no doubt about it. And that's why we need courage. Not courage like Goliath, who relied on himself, on his weapons, but courage like David, who completely relied on Jehovah. If we do this, we will be following the same words that are mentioned in Isaiah chapter 25. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 9. "In that day they will say, 'Look, this is our God. We have hoped in him, and he will save us. This is Jehovah. We have hoped in him. Let us be joyful and rejoice in the salvation by him.'" Yes, if we rely on Jehovah, friends, he will save us. Brothers and sisters, continue to rely on our God, Jehovah. He will bolster your courage and help you to remain modest and humble. Never be self-reliant. If Jehovah is our hope and our courage, we will never, ever be disappointed.
Thank you, Brother Parole, for emphasizing our need always to rely fully on Jehovah and not on ourselves.